The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy and ADF, Alliance Defending Freedom. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
We're talking to Dr. Tim Muehlhoff, professor of communication at Biola University. He's the author of Winsome Persuasion, Christian Influence in a Post-Christian World, which was selected by Christianity Today for its Book of the Year Award in the category of Evangelism and Apologetics. His latest work, of course, Defending Your Marriage, The Reality of Spiritual Battle. Tim, welcome back.
Oh, it's great to be with you guys. Unfortunately, I'm a little sick under the weather, but... it's great to be with you.
Thank you so much. With the power of radio, we will not get sick, but we do mourn for you in your sickness, Tim.
We do, and we usually talk to you every month, Tim, but this time we're talking to you only, you know, a week or so separating your engagements with us because you gave us an assignment, and it was that every day we were to take some time and do what?
And just write down three things that you're grateful for, three positives rather than negatives. We were talking about the positive recall bias that a psychologist from Harvard believes that we can actually train our brains to do one of two things. One, to notice the positive things in life, or we can train ourselves to notice the negative things in life. So we decided to take him at his word, and for 1 week, we decided, all three of us, that we would look at the positives, just write down three, once a day for 5 minutes at the same time. And I have my list. Do you guys have yours?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
What kind of things were on your list?
Well, here's what I want to say first, that as the week went on, Tim, what I found was that my gratitude was in two arenas. I looked at gratitude from a microscope and from a telescope.
Mm.
And because of that, I mean, I saw the tiniest things and I saw
yes,
the massive
things. I'm so
glad
I had a very similar experience where I started, you know, on the first day, well, I'm thankful for my mom, for my husband, my kids.
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, that's pretty easy, right? But
yeah.
Then as the week went on, I started, like, there was one day where I just was overwhelmed thinking about what it was like to be in Guatemala a couple years ago when nowhere, we went a whole day and there was no running water anywhere.
Mm.
And I remember at the end of that day, Tim, and this came back to me as I was doing this Thanksgiving exercise, that the very end of the day, we stopped in this school, and one of the people who was running our tour group said, hey, listen, there might be a restroom over there if you want to try to use it. And I went over, and there was a sink in there. Tim, it was like an oasis. And as I was walking up to it, I saw the sink from a distance, and I thought, if I open up that tap and water comes out, I am going to be the happiest person. Now, keep in mind, I've been without running water for about 14 hours. It wasn't like 14 days or 14 weeks or never, right? It was just that amount of time. Anyway, this whole experience came back to me. And of course, the end of the story is I opened up the tap and water came out and it was dirty, disgusting. I didn't care.
Yeah.
It was running water. So when I was at home that morning, I was brushing my teeth and I just stopped and I thought, God, thank you for this water. It's just, so I started with my kids and my family and I ended up with, I can't believe water comes out of that tap.
That's fabulous.
Well, yeah.
So then how's the best way that we can do this, Tim, to look at the microscope and the telescope and talk about our blessings? So should we go through a list or you want to just cherry pick certain things?
Well, let me make a couple quick observations. I've had my students do this for a couple years, and let me just mention a couple things that I think are fascinating observations. One, there's a Yale psychologist who does the exact same kind of research, and she says that if we were to make a commitment of doing this for the next 3 months, every single day we would write down three things it would grow old and we'd start to take it for granted.
Oh.
She says long-term gratitude is doing it weekly, not daily. That her study would be, let's take one day a week and then sit and reflect on all the things that we're grateful for. And you know what made me think of that is when God says you really do need Sabbath rest. You really do need one day a week where you Sabbath, and part of Sabbathing is looking backwards and thanking God for what happened in the previous week as you pray for the upcoming week. So I thought it was interesting that Yale psychologists would say people get used to this. Like right now it's kind of really cool for us because we've only done a week. But if you did this week after week after week after week, we'd start to take things for granted and our contentment would start to go down. It wouldn't increase. So interesting that maybe we do it once a week instead of every day during a week. I thought that was kind of interesting. How does that strike you guys?
I like it a lot. I would say this, that doing it daily maybe would jumpstart my sense of gratitude. If I did it for a couple of weeks or a month or whatever, and then started to get weary of it or stopped missing or started to miss days, then maybe I would revert back to the weekly thing.
Yeah, I like that. I think, John, when you said you do the microscope and you do the telescope,
yes.
I think research would bear out a little bit that the microscope beats the telescope. In other words, yeah, I'm thankful for my wife as well. I'm thankful for two of my three kids, except for the one who got me sick.
Yeah.
He made another list. He made a very different list. But if we do the telescope, then I don't think it'll have as much stick-to-it-ness. It's when I say, okay, this is exactly what I'm thankful for my wife today, that she made a stop at Sam's Club and loaded up with all this cold meds and chicken soup and stuff like that. So I think that's important. The second observation I make with my students is King David kind of does the exact same thing in Psalm 103. He says, I'm going to consider the benefits of God, and he doesn't consider material benefits. He considers spiritual benefits. Mm-hmm. So it's the forgiveness of his sin, the fact that he's going to be raised from the pit, you know, he'll conquer death, God's loving kindness, his compassion. And so what I think is interesting when I have my students do this list, they very seldom put spiritual benefits. They tend to look at material benefits, and I think that's really limiting for us as Christians, because it's almost like we should have two lists. One, my spiritual gratitude list, which is, man, I'm forgiven regardless of what I've done the previous day. God has still forgiven me, and his love has not wavered. So it could be interesting to have two different lists, a spiritual one as well as a material one.
Oh, I love this. That's a really great perspective, Tim. But I wonder, after teaching this, thinking about this, doing this yourself, what is the hoped-for end result?
Well, let me tell you how how we're using it at the Winsome Conviction Project is we are going to try to train people to look positively first towards people we disagree with, politically, religiously. Like I'm teaching this to women at abused domestic violence shelters. I'm actually doing it on December 9th, how do you prepare for the holidays, which can be a very difficult time for women in abusive relationships where they get verbal abuse. So I teach them this first. Let's just be thankful and get into the regular rhythm of doing that. Then once they get that muscle developed, they now need to think about positive things about themselves, which is harder, because when the abuse comes, they need to block that abuse with positives.
Mm-hmm.
And when we talk about political disagreements, we're really going to try to do this. We're doing it with two mega churches here in Southern California. We're actually going to teach people this positive recall bias, and then we're going to talk about the upcoming election. So when you first talk about President Trump or Nancy Pelosi or Bernie Sanders, you first have to say, to get into the conversation, here's what I appreciate, here's what I recognize about President Trump. Even though I may bitterly disagree with him, here are the things I'm going to start with. And that's what we want to try to change in our discussions about politics, religion, and the things that divide us.
Oh, I see. So you see the silver lining.
Well, yeah. Yes, but you have to train yourself to do it. Mm-hmm. And I would say in today's argument culture, we've actually been trained to do the inverse. We've been trained to see the negative first, not the positive.
Dr. Tim Muehlhoff is with us, professor of communication at Biola University. Tim, while we were doing this this week of remembering these, to take moments to actually write down things that we're thankful for, I went back and saw the Mr. Rogers movie, Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, a second time.
Oh, yeah.
And while I was seeing the film, I was just realizing how his attitude was really one of thankfulness in all of the different stages of the film. And that's why, you know, have you seen the film yet, Tim?
I've not seen the film. I've seen the documentary.
Okay. Well, when you see the film, it's not really a story about Mr. Rogers. It's a story about the journalist who encountered Mr. Rogers. It's really the journalist's story. Lloyd is his name in the film. But when you look at his interactions with Fred Rogers in different times, Fred's attitude is one of thankfulness at all times. And this idea of I am humble. And I am receiving what I have, and I'm noticing it, and I'm grateful for it. And I have to say, that was a really wonderful addition to this exercise that you had us do.
Yeah, and Kathy, I wonder if we can't take that into our conversations with people, even the people that drive us crazy, even the people that we disagree with. If we can't stop and at least recognize, now this is where John, the microscope telescope could come in. Because, okay, so let's take a person that you just bitterly disagree with. What are the positives I can think of? Well, one, they're made in the image of God. Two, Jesus thought this person worthy enough that he died for them. God's common grace is exhibited even in notorious sinners. God's common grace can be exhibited. So I need to look for those moments where I can say that was a good thing you did, or thank you for wanting to put your family under scrutiny to serve in public office. I don't know if you saw Melania really went after a Stanford law professor who was brought in the impeachment.
Yes.
Because she kind of made a joke about their son, Barron. She kind of said the difference between a king and a president is a king gets to do whatever he wants to, a president can't. So President Trump may think he's a king. He can only name his son Barron. He can't actually make him a Barron. And it kind of got a laugh. And Melania, rightfully so, absolutely went after her and said, he's an underage child. Why is his name even being mentioned? And she came back and apologized. So that's the kind of thing where we can stop and say, President Trump put his family under intense scrutiny. He didn't need to do this.
Mm-hmm.
He just didn't need to do it. Now, we may think whatever, but he stepped into the ring and is trying out ideas he thinks is good for this country. Whether I agree with them or not, he thinks they're good. And if I'm objective enough, I think some of them have been good for this country.
Yes,
right?
Without a doubt.
That's what we need to stop and say. Nancy Pelosi loves this country. I may bitterly disagree with some of the ways she's trying to show that love, but let me first acknowledge that this is a woman who's dedicated her entire life to public service, and instead of just cashing it in, I don't even know how old she is, I think it's upper 60s, instead of just coasting, she's still trying to serve this country, and I think there's something admirable about that.
I agree. That's fabulous. Okay, so then...
Okay, well, here's the question maybe I'd ask John, and I can ask you too, Tim.
Yeah.
John and I were really good. We did our homework, and we did not talk about it in the interim. But I'm wondering, John, if not just things that you were thankful for, but did it change anything about how you approached your day or looked at things? Or
What it allowed me to do was the gratitude in some ways opened up the door for surprise. That when I would notice things that I was grateful for, I was surprised that they were in front of me that I had not noticed all this time before. There's something about being thankful that allows me to recognize something. What do you think?
Yeah. Tim, what do you say?
Oh, I love that. There's so much I take for granted. There's so much I just get into a car that, you know, that works.
Yes.
I drink clean water. See, that's where the telescope can come in, Kathy. I have my students go to something called richlist.com, where you type in your salary. And I say to my students, type in your summer salary, mm-hmm. and you compare it to everybody in the world. We're talking farmers in Zimbabwe. Mm-hmm. And they will be in the top 15-20% without a doubt. That's the kind of stuff I really take for granted is my lights came on today. My refrigerator worked. I mean, when you start to do that kind of stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. It's almost overwhelming.
Yeah.
But that kind of an attitude. So I am sick, but we have health insurance mm-hmm. where there's people, the working poor, who don't have health insurance.
Right.
So, you know, what would they do? They would just gut it out. It would probably get worse and worse and worse, and they have to go to work. They can't miss work, right?
Yeah.
So that when we start to do that, you just start to think, man, I am a blessed person, and I need to steward my blessedness.
Yes, I agree 100%.
I think that's important.
So this past week, I had a tire that went bad. A tire on my car. So I got to be honest. There have been times in my life, Tim, where I have been so broke that I have literally bought used tires for $5.
Mm.
Enough just to sort of get me, you know, get that car back on the road. But when this tire went bad, I went to, you know, a good place that they sold brand new tires that, you know, were listed for 60,000 miles or 80,000 miles. I paid cash. And I left there and I thought, Lord, you look at where I once was mm-hmm. and how gracious you are, mm-hmm. how generous you are. This was not like a moment of deep and strong anxiety or fear or I was going to fall into a pit. But instead, there it was. And all these things, the guys who worked in the garage, the vehicle itself, everything was centered around that one tire that used to be a gigantic source of fear and anxiety for me for $5.
And yeah.
I mean, that's kind of like, that was, for me, the whole week in a nutshell.
That's great, John. I love what King David says, I shall remember the deeds of the Lord, and for us to look backwards. And by the way, let me mention one other thing real quick, because I work with the Center for Marriage at Biola University. So John Gottman, who is one of the top marriage researchers, says this, he can predict the health of a couple by how they look at the past and how they frame the past. So it's not how they talk about the present or the future, Gottman says, but if they talk about the past and notice the positives of their journey, not the negatives, he says that is the best indicator of the happiness of a couple. So when they go back and they say, hey, we did struggle financially. Yeah, we've gone through some really hard times, but you know what? We came through it.
And having that type of viewpoint is truly completely within our decision making. Like, it's really up to us how we look back.
Yeah, I agree. And I just want to acknowledge that some people it's harder than others. Like Monday, when I go to this domestic violence shelter as a Christian, I just need to understand that some of these women, to look back, it's really hard for them to find positives when, you know, in the face of current abuse.
I'm sure, yes.
So I need to give grace there. But Kathy, I absolutely agree is to look back. So you know what I did? I have three boys. I sent them all a copy of this book on happiness called The Happiness Advantage. And I sent it to all three and said, man, I wish I would have read this book at your stages of life. Because this isn't a life attitude. And so all three got it. And I'm sure it's a little bit like, oh, Dad, here's Dad again, Socrates.
Right,
you know, it's
right,
like,
right.
Oh, gosh. But I think it's a great way to start.
That's good.
Well, Tim, it's been a terrific exercise. And we want to thank you for kind of urging us down this path.
Yeah, and we haven't gotten into our list, but our time's up. But I love it, Tim. Really, I want to continue this. That's how much I love it.
Well, you know, it's the first one on my list,
the
fact that we get to do these interviews.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
I really appreciate it. We've been doing this for years.
We have.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's wonderful that you've been such a good friend to us, and we've never seen each other face-to-face, not a single time.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And today we're the better for it.
Yeah.
That's Tim Muehlhoff. He's sick. Professor of Communications at Biola University, author of Winsome Persuasion, Christian Influence in a Post-Christian World, and Defending Your Marriage, The Reality of Spiritual Battle. Thank you, Tim.
You bet. Bye, you too.
Bye, Tim.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.